The following message was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lyndale, Texas. For more great teaching or to find information about our church and when we gather, visit our website at fbclyndale.com.
All right. If you haven't already, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's where we will be tonight, finishing up that chapter, going through verses 11 to 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. I'll go ahead and read for us to get us started. Command and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but show yourself as a model to those who believe in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the gift within you, which was given to you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You know, we're a few weeks removed at this point from the Olympics. I find it always a fascinating time to get to see not only just the spectacular athletic ability that gets put on display, and I'm not talking about curling specifically. But I think what is also necessarily fascinating is the amount of great effort and work that is put into some of these athletic events that these Olympians put themselves to. We think of the time and we hear of how they have to train the right way and how they have to be very rigorous in their discipline and their workouts and their diets and all of these different things. Even if you were to find yourself at a point where you were like, I'm going to sign up for this 5K, or if you're a little bit more bold, a full marathon, there's a process that goes into this of training and being diligent and focusing in and wanting to know everything you need to know as it comes to running or participating in this event. In fact, any Olympic athlete would tell you that there is the great importance to train the right way, and there's no gold or reward or anything that comes from it if you are not training the right way, if you do not train to what you are aspiring for. And similarly, in this instance, as we've already kind of walked through chapter 4, and as we've seen these instructions to Timothy, Timothy has been called to a much greater task than just merely going for a gold medal. Timothy has been called to pastor and lead the church at Ephesus. He has been called to a task which is going to require a great deal of training, a great deal of discipline, a lot of work to put into what he has been called to. In fact, just before our section tonight in chapter 4, in verse 7 specifically, Paul instructs Timothy to refuse godless myths, but then later he also says, on the other hand, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. That Timothy is not going for this gold medal, but he's training for something far, far greater. What is this training for godliness that Timothy is going to partake in? What is it going to look like? How is it going to truly play out as he pastors the church at Ephesus? And what will ultimately be the result of this hard work and this diligence that he puts in? I think we will see tonight that through his diligent training, Timothy and also those he shepherds will be sanctified by his preaching and his living out of God's word. As we look at the text tonight, verses 11 through 16, we're going to see that there's these imperatives for Timothy, one after the other, these instructions that Paul is giving him. Do this and do this and do this, one after the other. Verses 11 through 13 are these imperatives to Timothy that relate to the congregation, how he's to pastor and interact with them. Verses 14 through 16, the beginning part of 16, I think are imperatives for Timothy himself, in terms of his gifting that he has been given. And then finally, in the last part of 16, we will see the results of Timothy's faithful work. First thing in verse 11, Paul says, command and teach these things. He wants to be clear to Timothy that Timothy has authority as a pastor. He has authority as a leader. If you look back at just chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul has already told Timothy, he says, as I exhorted you when going to Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may command certain ones not to teach a different doctrine. Paul strongly wants to encourage Timothy that he has this authority in what he is doing, to command his congregation in what they are to do according to sound doctrine, and also to defend it against those who would teach false doctrine. And that all of these things being based in sound doctrine, he's already pointed out chapter 4, verse 6, being nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Timothy is to command these things. He is to be authoritative in it. But not only is Timothy just going to command these things and say, hey, do this because I tell you to do this, but he's also to teach them. He has a responsibility in his teaching to give understanding, to give application to the people, to the congregation, to the believers that are in Ephesus. He wants them to know what is true and to walk in it. And we've already seen in chapter 4 that there are those who are being led away by deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Timothy has to teach his people and be faithful to it because there are other doctrines that are leading them away. He wants to be faithful to teach the sound doctrine of the faith in Christ. In the next imperative that Paul gives, he says, let no one look down on your youthfulness. Timothy at this time is a young man, or at least considered a young man in the ancient culture at the time. There's this distinction between who is a part of the older generation and who's part of the younger. But Paul is not only instructing Timothy in, hey, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but he wants to instruct the congregation as well. Do not look down on this man's youthfulness. He is your pastor. He is the leader. He is the one who I have set in place for this work. Timothy is knowledgeable. He has been traveling with Paul. Timothy does have this authority as an elder. It can be times that there is the temptation for the older generation to just purely look down on the younger just because they are younger. To not actually look and see, well, are they equipped for this task that is ahead of them? Now, this is no reason for Timothy to now respond and say, yes, you need to just obey me and follow me because I'm the young gun here and I'm on the up and coming. That's not what Timothy's response should be. There's also always the temptation for the younger generation to just think that they deserve the recognition just purely based on them being younger. But how is Timothy supposed to let no one look down on his youthfulness? By being a faithful model for the believers in good works. You see there in verse 12, it says, but show yourself as a model to those who believe in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Timothy is to be a faithful man in the works that he does. A young man, even more so a young pastor, how vitally important that they cannot forsake growing in knowledge and maturity, wisdom, good works. Timothy is not to walk around as if he knows it all and that he is just going to be prideful and arrogant towards his congregation. He is to be a model in his word, to speak what is true, his conduct, that his actions would be righteous, and love, showing grace and kindness to others, to be faithful in what he commits to, and purity, to walk in the holiness that is given by the gospel of Christ. Timothy is not exempt from following in his own teaching. In fact, no pastor is exempt from following in his own teaching. No believer is exempt in not following after what the sound doctrine of the word teaches. Timothy is to not only talk the talk in his commandments and his teaching, but he is to walk the walk as well. Timothy will show his congregation by his good works that he is not to be disregarded as pastor and as leader. His final imperative that he gives in this first section that Paul gives in verse 13, he says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Timothy is to teach sound doctrine that is in accordance with God's word. One of the most fundamental instructions of how an elder, how a pastor is to teach, that the congregation needs to hear God's word. That they need to hear it out loud, that it would be public before them. That he is to dedicate himself to this, that the congregation needs to know that Timothy's authority is not established from himself, but by the very words of Christ. In that also that he's giving attention not only to the public reading of Scripture, but to the exhortation and the teaching of it. The congregation needs to hear the rebuke that comes from God's word at times, the correction that comes from God's word, the encouragement, the comfort. They need to hear these things. Paul, even himself, how vastly important this was for him to teach this to Timothy and Titus and all those who he established at churches. In Acts 20, verse 7, as Paul is leaving Ephesus and he's speaking to the elders at Ephesus, he says, For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God, the whole counsel of God. There's a need that believers need to know God's word. They need to be taught by it. In fact, often it seems that we hear more and more throughout the country and throughout the world that there are churches who just have a blatant disregard for the teaching of Scripture, that it might as well just be an afterthought to their services. It becomes a point where sometimes preaching and teaching just become motivational speaking rather than being rooted and grounded in the words of God. I'm thankful for how our order of service here at FBC plays this out, that we are called to worship by God's word, that we are to sing the word and pray the word and hear the word preached. I pray that we would never be in a spot one day where we think, you know what, let's dial back on the Scripture in our order of service. We would never want to be like that. We would never, that would be foolish of us to think that. So Timothy here, in how he is going to pastor and lead his congregation, he must give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to its exhortation, to its teaching. The congregation needs to hear it and to know it. Now Paul's going to move a little bit more to Timothy directly, to his gifting as a pastor. Paul wants to instruct Timothy, as he's been very clear, but wants to encourage Timothy in this gifting that he has been given. Verse 14, it says, "Do not neglect the gift within you, which was given to you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the council of elders." Timothy is called and equipped to this task. 1 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says something very similar. He says, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight." God specifically has gifted Timothy for this purpose. He has gifted him in preaching and teaching and leading the church at Ephesus. God has revealed this about Timothy, whether to Paul or someone else, but it has been clearly revealed that this is what Timothy is to do, and he is not to neglect it. The elders and the apostles we see here even confirmed it for Timothy, most likely as he went out on Paul's missionary journey with him. But if Timothy were to neglect this gift, he would be operating in opposition to what God has called him to. He would clearly not be focused on the things that Paul has just commanded, to command and teach these things, to give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to set yourself as a good model of good works to the believers. This is not what Timothy is to do. He is not to neglect this. He's been gifted by God, and he is equipped to do this work as a pastor. So not to neglect it. Paul wants to remind him of that. This has been clearly revealed about you, Timothy. Walk according to it. In his next instruction to Timothy and his encouragement, he tells him in the beginning of verse 15, he says, "Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them." So how is Timothy going to live out this life of faith that he has before him? How is he going to be a model of good works himself? How is he going to teach and preach faithfully? He also must be immersed in what he preaches and teaches. He also must know Scripture deeply. It must be a part of his everyday life to be absorbed in them, that they are a part of him, these teachings and these good works of sound doctrine. Not only has Paul made it clear that Timothy is to train himself for this, but he's also told him in verse 8 of chapter 4, "Remember, for bodily training is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Paul's encouraging Timothy that this is not an easy task, but it is a profitable one. it will bear good fruit. In fact, the first result we see in verse 15 that comes from this faithful work that Timothy is doing, it's going to be clear to everyone how Timothy is growing in knowledge and maturity and good works and in his teaching. Verse 15, it says, so that your progress will be evident to all. So this is clearly for Timothy that it is clearly for him that he is to be able to show that he is growing in his teaching. And he is growing in the good works that he is walking in. That he is to be consistent and diligent and to take pains with these things. This is discipline that Paul is talking about. Timothy is not to just think of this and say, well, what if I got Sunday mornings coming up. Let me prepare a lesson for about 30 minutes on Saturday night and let's just go with that. That is not the type of teaching Timothy is to do. One would not just seek to work out for 30 minutes at the start of the new year, get that resolution right out of the way, and just say, all right, I am stronger. I've done my 30 minutes of workout for the year. That is not how this works. One does not just put minimal effort into a task and expect to be rewarded with the fruit of this labor. And to be honest, if we're thinking about it and we think about our own lives, many of us can think about tasks this way. Think about how can I just grow by just doing the bare minimum or just doing a little bit less? You know, it's such hard work before me to do these things that God has called me to do. But that is not, for Timothy, that is not to be the case. He is to be diligent in this. He is to turn away from laziness and be diligent and disciplined in his study of Scripture, his teaching of Scripture, his walking according to Scripture. In his final imperative to Timothy in verse 16, Paul says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. Timothy is to know what is true. He is to teach it. He is to command it. Timothy should not stray away from it, not neglect it. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul says this, for some straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. The opponents that are in front of Timothy are seeking to be teachers, and they're seeking to teach these things that are just their own wisdom, but they do not understand these things. They do not understand the things of the law. They have certainly not persevered in what is good and sound. I think truly at the end here, as Paul is kind of wrapping up these imperatives that he is giving to Timothy, he truly wants to encourage him, persevere in these things. Pay close attention to them. This is vitally important for you, Timothy. Persevere, pay attention to not only your teaching, the sound doctrine part, but also to yourself, your life, and how you walk according to him. Timothy must know and understand God's word and live by it. And at the very end, as Paul is wrapping up this section, he gives the result of the faithful work that Timothy is going to do. He says at the end of verse 16, for as you do this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. This work that is being done is not just for Timothy's sake. And Timothy is also to understand that it's not just for his congregation's sake as well. That God is going to use the preaching of Timothy and his work, the preaching of his word, to save and sanctify his people. That Timothy, as a pastor, he's not just doing this for the sake that he can excel or that he can make a name for himself or that he can just grow in knowledge, but that this is for the building up of Christ's church. That this is for the equipping of the saints. That the gospel will go forth in Timothy's preaching, and that people will be saved by the work of Christ. This is why Paul and Timothy, they're laboring for these purposes. They're desiring this for the sake of the gospel and the sake of the building up of the church. Christ is going to use Timothy, his life, and his preaching for the salvation and sanctification of the believers in Ephesus. And in the same way today, Christ uses the faithful preaching and work of godly pastors to bring about the salvation and sanctification of his people here and now. In the same way, Christ uses the faithful preaching and work of godly pastors to bring about the salvation and sanctification of his people now, today. I think as we think about, especially as we've studied through 1 Timothy, and we've probably talked about this before, but a lot of times we can think, gosh, man, there's a lot of instruction for Timothy, this pastor. There's a lot to take in, and a lot of responsibility that is clearly seen in these verses. What do we do with these things? How do we respond to this truth? Well, for one, I think Eric talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago, but I think a consistent application is that we're to be so thankful for the pastors we have. We're to be so thankful for pastors who immerse themselves in God's word, not only here, but those who are out preaching the gospel elsewhere. To be so thankful for elders who labor in the teaching of sound doctrine and for applying it to their own lives as well. And not only with being thankful, but I think it is a call for us as congregants, as members of a church, to be such an encouragement to our pastors. To encourage them to persevere as well, as Paul is encouraging Timothy. To continue to be absorbed in the scriptures, to know them, that they would teach them faithfully. That we can be an encouragement to them in every season of life that they go through as they seek to perform and work out this task that God has given to them. We definitely don't want pastors who are going to neglect their gift that God has given them. We see very clearly in 1 Timothy 3 the qualifications for what a pastor is to do. And if a pastor is not qualified, he is not called to be a pastor. And so if they are pastoring a church, and those who are gifted in pastoring, teaching, being an elder, we want them not to neglect their gift. That they would also follow in the instructions of Paul to command and to teach, to be a model of good works, to persevere, to give attention to the public reading of Scripture. These are all the things we want for faithful pastors. I think we also must realize that through this text, the great significance and importance of preaching God's word. That the preaching of God's word has eternal significance. It's not just for here in this life. It's not just here I'm sitting today and getting a good teaching and I'm going home with it. But that the things that we learn from Scripture that preaching accomplishes, one is that hearing the gospel, that people will believe in Christ and put their faith in him alone. This is what preaching accomplishes. In Romans 10, verses 14 through 15, in Romans 10, it says this: how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim good news of good things. God accomplishes the salvation of his people through the preaching of his word. They will hear the name of Christ. And they will put their faith in him and him alone and the work that he has done. Believers are also sanctified by the preaching of God's word. When Christ, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he says this: sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And when we come to church every Sunday, when we hear the preaching of God's word, it is meant to sanctify us by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ building us up, making us more like himself. This work of preaching as well, it equips the saints. Along with this sanctification, it equips the saints for the work of service. We all have our giftings as well that we are to use to serve the church. And through the preaching of God's word, we are equipped for that work of service. We are meant to be built up as the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says this: and he himself gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is what we are looking towards, church, to the unity of the faith, the full knowledge of the Son of God. This is what the preaching accomplishes. It's what Paul and Timothy are laboring for. It's what our pastors are laboring for. It's what faithful pastors should be laboring for. We've already seen in 1 Timothy that false teaching and the leading of not sound doctrine just leads to death and remaining in condemnation. But that sound, faithful teaching will point those who hear to Christ and eternal life in him. So I hope that we would not lose sight of the great eternal significance of the preaching of God's word. We would always make it a commitment to be here when we can, to hear God's word, that we encourage our other believers that don't neglect the gathering. Be and hear the words of our God. And we could also read this and get through this section and think to ourselves, well, man, I am glad that pastors have all the work. I'm glad that they just get to do it all. That is great work for them. I'm just going to, like I said, I need to sit, listen. That's all I got to do. But I think it begs the question for us to ask ourselves, are we taking our own spiritual growth? Are we taking our own commitment to sound doctrine seriously? Do we just leave the sound doctrine for Sunday and have our plans and purposes for the rest of the week, whatever they may be? I think scripture is clear that that is not to be the case for us either. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." God makes it clear in his word that all of our lives are to be filled with scripture. That just as the pastor is working diligently to be absorbed in the scripture and to teach it to us, now we absorb it ourselves and we think on it, we meditate on it, we walk in it. And that we would also go about and be responsible and authoritative in the sense that we are teaching it also to our kids and our grandkids. They would know it and walk in it. 2 Peter 1, verse 10 says, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and choosing sure. For in doing these things, you will never stumble." Also in Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." There's great diligence and discipline called to the believer, not just the pastor. But we are called to work out these things, to apply this sound doctrine that the pastors are faithfully teaching to us. And in Philippians 2, I must read verse 13 for the encouragement in this, because it can look and see like, oh, this is a lot of work, this Christian life. But as it says in Philippians 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We also see in John 15 that Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine." And we are not in this work alone of just truly just gritting our teeth and putting on our boots and going, "I'm going to work. I'm just going to work really hard." The pastor relies on Christ and the Spirit to be in and of the word and to preach it faithfully, as the believer abides in Christ to walk according to it. Which is why faithful pastors and faithful members and believers in Christ, they look to the Bible and they cling to it. These are the words of our Savior. It's the words that are being preached to us Sunday after Sunday. There's great delight in modeling our lives according to sound doctrine. There's great joy in it. That sound doctrine should be sweet to our ears. You know, in the sense of thinking about the athletes who strive and strive and strive and they work diligently and they set everything right, and they do everything they need to do. But at the end of the day, their reward is not guaranteed. The reward of training that diligently may not end up in a gold or may not end up in a fruitful endeavor. I think looking back at this last half of this verse in verse 16, there is a guaranteed result in the preaching of God's word. It says, "For as you do this, Timothy, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." That Christ will accomplish this purpose. Christ will accomplish his work, and he has chosen to use faithful pastors like Timothy faithful pastors like Tom Buck, and continue on and on to preach his word, that his people will be saved and sanctified. And so I'll pray for us, but I pray that we would take these truths and meditate on them and apply them to our lives, that we would walk in sound doctrine that he has called us to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you have instructed us in all that we need. We're thankful for the pastors you have given to us, that you have given them to us to equip us as believers, as saints, to walk according to the teaching, to live the teaching, to walk according to sound doctrine by the power of the Spirit and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that your word will continue to go forth, the preaching of your word will continue, and that you will bring your people, as we know you will, to yourself. Lord, we love you and we trust you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.